podcast called It's That Episode. It's dead.
Boom. Well,
it's not dead. There was a new one recently. Did you ever do an episode of Friday Night Lights?
No, I almost did.
Have you ever seen the show?
I saw the first full season and then the first episode of the second season.
And then you said, this is bad.
Can I say, I'm really nervous. I'm finishing up the first season. I'm really worried I'm going to like the second season.
I think it got better. People say it got better, but like it really lost
the
me.
First
no, I'm
episode,
worried I'm going to watch the second season and be like, I love this.
You
and
might.
Find out I'm
I
an
think
idiot.
You might. And you wouldn't be wrong.
You
there's something great about
there's
it.
Something,
just,
there's a good, I'll say there's even a good storyline in it.
Yeah.
But like the first episode is one of the worst episodes
of
TV
I've ever seen.
I'm so excited.
Where are you now, Jessel?
Where am I? I think episode 17 of the first season. Buddy Garrity just crashed with.
Spoilers.
Sorry.
Okay, good.
Buddy Garrity, in this episode, he wears a ring on one of his fingers. I think, doesn't he wear a class ring?
Yeah, no, it's like it's his championship ring.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I think as a blanket, anybody listening to this podcast should know, expect Friday Night Lights spoilers.
Yeah.
And this is a long form conversation. Recorded at UCB Comedy Studios in New York City. This is the Long Form Conversations Podcast with your hosts, Sean Diston and Nicole Dressbelt. And that's how we start the podcast normally. Rowan, how are you doing? Ladies and gentlemen, our guest today is Craig Rowan, self-proclaimed game machine.
That hurts.
All about the game.
I would have to back that up. I'd say one of my favorite improvisers of all time.
Wow.
Professional TV writer and actor, UCB great Craig Rowan, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow. What an introduction. Thank you so much. I am the game machine.
You are the game machine.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. All about the game.
It's all about that game. Thanks for doing the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are, I would say, for me and Nicole, probably a generation up, like one generation before. What was the year you
generation came in? Seven up.
Generation up. Next. Pepsi next. When we start this podcast, we like to ask a question. And what is that question, Nicole?
Craig, before you started taking UCB improv classes, who were you, where were you, and what were you doing?
Like an improv, like who, what, where.
Who, what, where. Mm-hmm. Find my...
Base reality.
It's been a while. I'm going to be a step slower when it comes to improv stuff. No, where was I? When I went to college, when I was a freshman, I went into freshman year of college being like, I want to do comedy. And so that was what I was before I started doing improv. And when I got to college, on one of my first days there, I saw a sign with a guy's face on it. And that guy's face ended up, he's one of my best friends now. And it said, show me something weird and unusual. It was a quote, something like that. And it said Del Close. I didn't know what that meant, but it was cool. And it said the Scuds. And it said auditions. And I said, that's it. I'm going to do that. And I auditioned for it. And what it was, it turned out, was a guy, my friend Dan, whose face it was, Dan Kayer, shout out, he'll never hear this. And nobody who will listen will know who that is. But if you do, hey,
right.
He's a good guy, right? he was in a short form improv group at my college. He was a junior my freshman year, and he didn't like it, or he was good at it, but he had... In high school, started going to shows at UCB, and I actually talked to him about this weekend in preparation. And he said he saw the UCB show on TV and started taking classes there. So when I started doing improv, we did long-form improv, and we'd go see UCB shows. So I was a freshman in college, and I was like, whoa, what's up, dudes?
Yeah.
And I was the freshman who would do anything to make the cooler kids in the group laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just got into it. But, like, I guess a question I have is, so you knew you wanted to do comedy super early?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I knew, like, I'd say in high school I knew that I always liked watching, like, just, like, a steady diet of television and comedy. And then in high school I started, you know, through middle school I'd watch SNL and get all the best ofs. And then in high school I found Mr. Show, and I knew Second City. I'd gone there in Chicago. I didn't know about UCB yet, but I knew that. And I did a, guys, I did Little Shop of Horrors senior year.
Oh,
it was Mr. Mushnick.
Shit.
And we did a behind the scenes cast video, and I was funny.
right.
I liked getting laughs, and I did student government in high school just to, like, do the speeches
and get laughs and laughs. People vote for you.
That's so funny. I feel like a lot of improvisers were, like, not the star of their high school theater department, but, like, the charmer of their high school theater department.
Yeah. I didn't do, like, I did, like, the senior play, which wasn't, like, the drama club, but, yeah.
I know. I was in drama club. We hated the senior play.
I'm sure you did, and that's valid. Because
it was, like, a step below.
It was, like, a waste of the entire fall season, and it was, like, every soccer player gets to come in and be on stage, and that's, like, valuable stage time.
To be fair, I never played after elementary school. But and then I also, this is, like, the nerdy thing, but I think it was still in the same realm. I started in high school a bowling club, and it was all based around the Big Lebowski. We were called the Little Lebowski Suburban Achievers. And this was before the Big Lebowski was like
popular.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
We knew before you knew.
Right.
And it was all about, like, we'd dress up on Fridays in stupid costumes. We'd go bowling. And it was sort of also like to me and the friends that I did it with, I felt like an extension of that same thing. Like, another type of stage for, like,
right. That's interesting. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people we've talked to didn't necessarily know that they were going to end up in comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But to know so early, I think, is pretty interesting. And I feel like just by knowing you, you're a person that, like, has always consumed a ton of comedy or media in general.
Yeah.
I mean, you watched a lot of TV.
It's very unhealthy. It's gotten me, like, where I am.
Yeah,
I'm happy.
No, that's
but I
great.
Would, I mean, I would watch, anything. I'll watch anything.
That's crazy.
And then
your friend brought you to UCB or you?
Yeah, I auditioned for this group one of my first days. And I just sort of lucked out because he put up signs before the short form group did. They were called N2O. Laughing gas. I mean, they weren't called laughing gas, but N2O is laughing gas.
Right.
That gives you a little bit of
clever.
Did you say where you went to school?
I went to Connecticut College in New London, Connecticut,
mm-hmm.
Near the Groton subbase, nuclear subbase. And
people don't orient their college around the nearest nuclear.
Well, just to give you an idea, post 9/11 world, they did give us iodine pills in case.
Oh, that's my favorite. I'm near. I don't remember which nuclear power plant, but, like, my aunt went and picked up iodine pills when Town Hall gave them out, and she was the only person there. She got there early. She's like, there's going to be a line.
And that's going to be the one thing. That's going to be it.
That's saved.
You're saved.
Sorry.
But no, yeah, that's how I orient myself.
Right. So you didn't audition for the N2O.
So I luckily didn't audition for this other one. Nothing wrong with that, but I found through this improv group my best friends, and we'd go, you know, so this was in 2001. Is when I started doing improv, and then I'd go see ASCAT, and I think the first show was at, like, the original theater. Then we went to some shows at the interim theater,
right?
And then by the end, I think, of my freshman year, it was at the current theater,
right,
in New York. And then that summer after my freshman year is when I started taking classes.
So, like, 2002.
2002.
So,
wow.
So you were commuting to take classes?
Yeah, my parents live in Westchester, New York.
Gotcha.
So I would be there, and I was, like, a camp counselor.
Right.
And then I would go and
go up to college.
Yeah, like, yeah. And then I'd go during the summer to classes, and then I'd try to go to shows a lot because I was bored at home.
Right.
Cool. So did you start 2002, but, like, very gradually roll it out?
Yeah, so I did every summer after every summer of college when I was home, I would take a class. So freshman year, I took level one. After sophomore year, took two, then three, and
so
then afterwards is when I started, like, really doing it.
So the whole time you were doing improv at college, every summer you were taking a UCB class.
Yeah, and it was sort of cool because other people in the group, my friend Dan, who started it, I think he's kept taking a couple classes, but he graduated after my sophomore year. All the other people didn't really take classes except for my friend Rory Panagatopoulos, who started taking classes after college. But I sort of became like the leader of the group because I had
more experience
and I was sort of like, coach us. You know, it was sort of lame, like not a great position to be in, but, you know, you need somebody to sort of take charge.
So then when you got to New York after graduating college, finishing up UCB classes, that feels like that socially puts you in like a weird place.
Yeah,
right?
So I didn't really, I think good and bad, like what I, something I don't, and I'm going to talk a lot of shit today.
Please.
Like I'm going to throw it down and it's going to be on the floor.
Cool.
But like one thing I think it was like a pro and a con was I sort of avoided all of the politics and like I didn't know about anything. Like I remember with my senior year, I got an email that I was eligible to audition for a Herald team. I didn't really know what that meant, but I called them up and I was doing finals and stuff. I was like, I don't know what this is, but I want to do it. But would I be able to, how many days a week is it? Because I'm still in school and I decided not to because I don't think it would have made sense. But at this, so I miss all that stuff, but I didn't really come up with people.
Right.
I don't remember many people from my classes.
Like you were more dealing with the politics of your own college improv group than UCB.
Which was amazing, too, because I feel like the pressure was off when I came here to New York because I had already experienced this amazing, like being in this improv group is still one of my favorite things.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a lot of great friends. And we were sort of like, it was sort of like a cool thing too.
Yeah.
It's a very small school and like the shows were fun. People would come and then we'd party afterwards. And it was sort of this like fun thing on campus.
Just as a technical question, the type of improv you were doing in that college group, did it eventually slowly turn into like UCB style long form?
Oh, definitely. Yeah,
you were
in
charge.
My friend Dan and my friend Joe, who also started it, they were reading, what's the Del Close? Truth and Comedy.
Truth and Comedy. Right.
And I remember, like, before our first show, my friend Joe was like, look at this. This is, like, what we're talking about. But we said when we introduced our show, we said we were doing a Harold, but we weren't what we thought we were, but it was more ASCAT. Like,
right.
we'd give a monologue, and then we'd do scenes based off it. And I'm sure, I mean, I have some of those on DVD, and they're embarrassing to watch.
Oh,
but
wow.
Have you gone back?
I've seen some of them, and I think it wasn't like, super great improv, but I think we got we were lucky that we had so much like camaraderie. We were like buddies, and we knew how to make each other laugh, and we got a lot of out of that.
Yeah,
and you know, maybe our improv wasn't the best, but like, you know, it's funny.
Yeah,
funny
that's
stuff.
That's interesting. So then you get through all the classes every summer. So really, you're just taking classes, not really making friends with anybody.
No, not really. No.
Do you remember any people you took classes with or any of those experiences in those classes, or was it kind of a blur?
I remember a couple things that were a good experience. I remember like a couple moments that made me really happy in classes. Owen Burke, I think, was my first teacher. And I remember saying something in the class that he like called out as good.
Tell us what it was.
It was something where you had to say like a thought.
Right.
And I said something how like my mind was blown when like someone printed a map upside down, but with the words like right side up.
Right.
So it's like, whoa. like it was one of a very like college thing,
but
it was sort of, I
don't know. College,
but I remember him calling that out as like, that's a good like thought, or that's like something that's interesting and I don't
specific
and truthful. And I remember that. And then I remember after one of my levels, Chad Carter taught it, and I think that I think it was either two or three, but I don't remember which one. But I asked him a question after class, and he's like, "Oh, come walk with me to the theater." And we talked on the walk there, and he like got me into his show, which was next, and it was Respecto
Montalban.
But they were doing like spinning a wheel, and it was like prepping for a show. I think it was like their George Bush is a Motherfucker, some show like that. And I thought it was cool that I got to go in for free. And then I snuck into the next show, and David Cross was doing, or he was doing the show before. And I thought like, oh, this is a cool world. Like, this is where I want to be. Like, fun stuff is happening. And I liked that, like, sneaking in felt really cool.
But it also didn't, because you had so much going on at college, it was like a cool world, but it didn't feel like the be all end all.
I mean, I think it in a way it did. Like in a way it did be. It didn't feel like pressure filled, but I was like, "This is where I want to be." Like this is, I like what people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would go to shows with friends and with my brother, and we'd like laugh, and you know, it was like you know how it is magic when you first see it. And
I think, like you were saying, it's good that you got to stay out of the politics of it, only because you end up like observing it, being a part of it, but also like not having to be there right away and knowing like when I'm done with college I'll probably come
here. And I was itching to come. I remember like junior year a lot of my friends had graduated from my group and I still had friends there, but I was like, I'm ready, I want to get to New York, like I want to start the next thing.
So what was the time period between when you got to New York and when you ended up on your first Herald team?
That was probably about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the answer to that.
Yep. What classes did you take?
So when I graduated, I took two classes in a row. I think it was level 501. Between junior year and when I graduated, it changed
to like advanced
to that like levels 100, 200, 300. And then it was at the new training center, and I took a 501 with Chris Gethard.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I took an advanced 600 with Delaney, and that was like a create your own form. And he
was that the ship one. Did you do
the
ship
Buccaneer?
One? The Buccaneer. Wait,
which was really funny because he like we started the show and it was like it's like we're gonna create our own form, and we'd sort of like pitch ideas and like try to organically. And then week four he's like, we're gonna do this one that I just came up with, and it's called the Buccaneer. And we're like, why is it called the Buccaneer? It's like, I always like that name.
What is it? What was it?
It was cool. It was like I think it was sort of how, like, you do a scene, and then you do a couple more scenes. Let's just say it was a Harold.
Yeah.
But then the second beats would be in the same place, but, like, a different year. So there'd just be elements that I think everything would, the second beats would take place in the same place, but that was the only thing that was the same.
Right,
maybe.
Right, I think that's
what it was.
Interesting. Same place as each other?
Same place. Like, if the first beat of the first Harold was in a church.
Right.
The second beat would be in that same church, but
different
characters,
year.
Different things, like
so
same
you,
surroundings.
You would time dash the space.
Yeah, sure.
Mayhaps.
That's
what
it was.
Cool.
The Buccaneer.
The why do I need to explain when you say,
when you say the
Buccaneer, you know
what
it is.
That's what it is. So you took those two classes, then auditions came around and you auditioned?
Yes, but here's the rub.
Mm-hmm.
I did an audition that was the time that Bastion was made.
Right.
So I don't know when that
was the open audition that year.
Yes, that sounds. And I think that must have been in winter of 2006 or the new year 2007, and then between that and when I got on a Harold team, I joined this group called Blackout, which was performing at the UCB. So I sort of also had this nice little thing where a confidence booster that I was on this group
show,
that had
right.
performed at like a biweekly show or something, and then I did the summer audition, which was the best Harold team in the world. $12,000.
Right.
And I stand by that as the best name of a Harold team ever.
I've
story?
Heard so many rumors.
Is there a story?
Isn't that how much money you all had spent on classes?
No. I mean.
Wait a minute. So that was literally just something that someone invented.
Yes, actually, that's what it was. Yeah. That's what it was.
Wait, but also I've heard a story. You were also almost Christmas Goose, right?
Maybe. No?
Weren't you also almost September 12th?
That is, I won't confirm nor deny just because that's a great name.
Wait, what was the reason it was called 12th?
Well, I'll take, I mean, somebody else will maybe take credit, but I remember coming up with the name and it was, I liked the name. And
you
I think
just said
I like 12 because it's the highest number that's one syllable. So it's short.
Oh.
And then I thought it just had, I remember being in the back of the theater and whispering it to another team member. And being
$12,000.
I think this might be good. If Michael Powley wants to come up here and argue against it, guess what, Michael? You're wrong.
Michael, if you're listening, email us. We'll settle this controversy once and for all. What was that experience like? This was your second audition, I guess you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
You get on a team. After the first audition, were you pretty upset?
Not really. I didn't really.
You had that other show going on.
Yeah, I don't know if that had started yet, but I was on an indie group that I really liked, called Sherpa.
Right.
And I didn't know that many people, so I didn't feel like I had I don't know. I feel like maybe I could have made it, but I didn't know enough of what was going on that it felt bad.
Right.
Too bad. You know what I mean? Of course, you feel rejected, but it wasn't.
Like in a way, you're like, well, I could be doing more. Or like, I, you know.
Yeah. And I didn't even like know who the, like, I knew Anthony King was the artistic director, but I wasn't like, ooh, I don't know. It's the same thing as like, I hadn't taken a 600 level and people didn't really know me, you know.
I think you got lucky because of that. Because, I mean, that just is that's so much fucking heartache. It's like how much you're like freaking out about improv in the early levels.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. And I feel lucky that I sort of missed out on.
So $12,000. Yeah. What was that experience like?
Really fun. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Who were the people on that team? Could you name them?
Yeah. And if I miss somebody, I feel bad. But it was.
It's tough.
Me. Joe Spellman, Aubrey Plaza, Mike Still, Michael Powley, Jennifer Bartels, Chris Shell, and me.
Wow.
I think
that's all of them.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, that's great. That sounds like a really fun team.
And I was lucky because Joe and Aubrey had been on my indie groups. So it also another thing of like taking the pressure, you know, like you feel comfortable, guys. That's so what it's all about.
That feels big. That's almost half of you are people from the same indie team.
Yeah, a lot of, and I think more people ended up getting on groups from Sherpa. It was sort of a great team.
It was kind of
a farm system,
you know.
When you think about the groups that defined an era and you think about groups that made people's minds change, Sherpa.
Was Paul Welsh on Sherpa?
Yeah, he joined, I think, after that,
I remember seeing Sherpa a bunch of times.
Posted for a long time at the Red Room and then under St. Mark's.
Under St. Mark's, I think, and then maybe when things got weird there, we jumped around a little.
Yeah. So because this was your first team and you're comfortable with these people, it wasn't like a high-pressure situation where you're like, I'm going to get cut. Or
again, I feel like I had a different perspective.
Yeah.
I remember there being people who were like worried about things. One thing that was nice was, like, I remember before... two things were great. The first show we ever did was on Herald Night, and then after that was The Blender, which is a show where
it mixes up
with veterans and newbies and stuff, and I got to do that, and I was just as excited about that, and I felt like I did well in that and had a fun time. So that was just, like, a nice start to things. And then I remember... I don't think I knew Anthony Antamanik, but he was backstage maybe before or after our first show. And he said, like, I don't know if we asked him for advice or it was me and somebody and him or whatever. But I remember him saying, like, you're going to be on 50 teams. Like, don't worry. You know, that type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think once you have that mindset of, like, this team.
It's just a team.
And, you know, I'm still friends with a bunch of people from that group. And I think we could have lasted longer, Anthony.
Shit.
See, I'm going to throw a lot of shit on you. So I'm calling out Anthony King and saying we should have had two more years in a weekend slot.
Mm-hmm. Well, everyone, listeners, tweet at Anthony King.
Tweet at
what happened to $12,000?
Yeah, and we want our money back.
We want our money back for many Herald Nights. But that's cool. So, like, yeah, you've so far it seems like you've had luck as far as the pressure, and like the team was good. And was that like a 6 month thing or a year?
I think something like that, maybe under a year. It was just like, we weren't great. We weren't the best team, but it was like, to me, it's like the perfect mix of weirdos, people who are good at improv. People don't know what improv is.
Right.
Like, you know, I feel like you need that like nice mix of like, one of the guys on the team is a kindergarten teacher.
One of the people is
like batshit.
I don't think that happens as much anymore.
No.
Yeah, I think that's a nice, like, Chris Shell is the funniest person
he's
I've ever met.
So fucking funny.
I don't think, like, I'm sorry, Chris, if you're listening again, first of all, email Anthony King.
Then,
like, I don't know if he knows exactly what improv is. He's just funny. He's just, like,
it's true.
The funniest person I've ever met.
Yeah.
He always makes me laugh.
Any bit show I've ever done, I will email specifically those two dudes. Yeah, it'll be like, hey, do you want to...
He's great.
So that's interesting. And then your next team was?
The next group was Bangs.
Bangs.
And I believe Bartels and Still were also on that group.
Right.
I want to say that those were the only people from $12,000.
It might have been the only two.
And that was a good group, too.
Yeah.
I had fun with that group.
That was a group that I think almost out of the gate was the anchor team. Pretty early on.
Maybe. I don't remember. But we were the team that performed with Robin Williams. That was like,
yeah,
cool.
That was the biggest thing.
So even if we didn't,
it's a tough, we had, let's like, talk about we had that
cachet.
For a little bit.
We had some cachet.
Let's talk about that for a little bit, because I don't know if how many people know about this story, but this is Harold Knight Bangs. So how, you guys are a new team?
We're new. I think we're like a couple months old, and I remember the great thing or funny thing is like Fran was on our group, and she left like the week before that, this happened, uh-huh, to be added onto
another
the law
team.
Firm.
Right.
It was just like one of these like fun, weird, like, and yeah, we were new. So it was this nice, like, again, like a confidence booster and just a great, yeah, I mean, life experience.
How did he end up performing with you guys? What was
he looked at the website and he said, Craig looks funny. And
he said, find me this guy.
He saw RoryandCraig.com, yeah, which was my website at the time, and said, there's some good blog posts. I don't know exactly how it happened, but I know he was in New York, obviously, and I forget exactly what he was doing there. I think he mentioned maybe he was visiting a family member or something, maybe he was working on something. But what I remember was I went into the theater and went towards the green room, and I think Sean Clements said to me, like, Robin Williams is performing with us or something like that. And I thought,
and like, of everyone, he seems the most likely to lie.
So that's what I thought. So I thought that I was, and Trisha McAlpin was also in the group. And I remember, yeah, and I thought it was a joke on her. And I was like, yeah, like, I was like, oh, got it. Uh-huh. We're making, we're like, we're coming up with a joke for Trisha that Robin Williams is performing with us. This is great. I didn't think it was real. And then we went to the green room and Anthony King was there again. Made wrong decision about $12,000. But he said, like, look who's performing with you. And I looked, and in one of the couches of the green room, there was Robin Williams. And that was really cool. Yeah. And I think we just sort of lucked out because it could have been the group before us. Yeah. I think he just came in during the
previous
show. And I think the group had just started, and we all came there. We all sort of, like, realized, oh, this is fucking crazy. And we went back. And I again, on RoryandCraig.com, I put up a blog post. You can look up that whole
Read
thing.
The
so
whole
you can Google
blog
that
post.
And you can find that.
Yeah.
But we warmed up with him, and
right, because he was like, "I want to do whatever you guys."
He was so great. He was like, I think he realized, okay, this is Harold. This is something that's like, not as loose as ASCAT, which I know he had done before.
Right.
And it seemed we were obviously like a new group, not obvious to him, but we were still into the mode of like Harold Knight.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, let's do it. So we warmed up. We sort of explained what we were doing. I'm pretty sure he had, I mean, his Robin Williams, I think he could have dealt with whatever
figured
we did.
Out. Yeah.
But I think we explained to him, and he, like, participated in everything we did. And it was really, really cool.
That's so crazy. I remember hearing about that show. I was, at the time, probably going to Harold Knight every single fucking week.
Where were you?
And I didn't go to that.
Where were you?
I don't know.
I was at Drew Johnston's sketch show at the Pit.
Oh, that sounds really great.
And I want him to never forget that. Because I was interning, so I could have just walked in. But
how was the show?
Drew's show.
Did Robin Williams show up?
No, he did not. It was good. I mean, it was strong games. Drew's a funny guy. He'll do stuff.
I'm sure it was great.
Someday that'll be cooler than Robin Williams.
That'll be a cooler story. That sounds amazing. I mean, yeah, that was incredible. Like, I think that was crazy. And then Bangs had good shows and was a good team.
Yeah.
And then from there, you went to law firm?
No, then it was Bad Man.
Bad Man, right.
And that was also a fun group.
Yeah, that was a really fun team.
Did Bad Man feel different from Banks? Because it was kind of a transition team, right?
There were, I mean, transition team in...
Like, there was a lot of the same people.
Yeah, I think, like, it felt like maybe half of, I remember, Still was in it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I feel bad. Now I'm going to forget who went from both, but there was a lot of the same people. And
Trisha, maybe?
I think so. But then, like, Chelsea Clark was in the group. Right. And
Chelsea was on both, right?
Maybe, yeah.
Chelsea
was
on both?
Yes.
Chelsea is one of my favorite improvisers, so I don't feel bad if I forget, because I respect her and she thinks she's hilarious.
Great.
Whether or not I forgot about her.
We'll edit that out if you forget.
I don't care.
But that felt like a new team. It didn't feel like it was just more of the same. Or
I honestly, in my memory, they sort of blend together a little bit. So I. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you probably played with some of those other guys.
I feel like it was everybody who was on the team was sort of been around a little bit. I think. I feel like all the groups were. I always had fun, and I always tried to avoid the drama.
Right.
Shit. Even though every group has a little bit of that.
I think if you just stick to game, you know,
yeah.
game machine.
Game machine.
Okay. You don't have to worry about the drama.
So I want to ask about this, though, because I feel like it's, you're not baiting, but in my heart it is. What's a thing that, like, you have lost your cool over, or a thing that you, like, worried about too much, or, like, in your time at UCB made too big a deal about?
Let's see. Oh, man.
Gotta be something, Craig.
That I just lost my cool or just bummed out about?
Yeah,
well,
or like a molehill you made a mountain of in retrospect.
Here's the thing, though.
Okay. Go ahead and then I'll answer.
I would say that. No, you know what? I want to hear your answer first and then I'll respond to that.
I guess I was just like bummed but it's going to be like the end game of it is like the end game machine of it is going to be like totally great. So I had to feel bad. It's like, but I remember when Mike Steele was taken off Bad Man and put on Death by Ruru, I was like totally bummed out. I was like, I feel like I could be on that group. And I also had been in every group with Mike Steele and I loved performing with him so much. I was sort of been like, oh, well, we'll end up on like a group together.
Yeah.
And I was just really bummed out about that. But again, then Law Firm came quickly after that.
Yeah.
But then I've also had, you know, sketch shows that I did that didn't get runs. I think both sketch shows that I had up and sketch to me is just as important in my improv in my UCB experience. I was super bummed when they didn't get made, but then we took all the notes and we
redid
it over again. But it's always there are plenty of bummers. And I think I also just get annoyed when there's drama in a group. Like I remember at the end of Bad Man, whenever there's this like interpersonal bullshit, I just don't want to be a part of it.
Well, what I was going to say is that I think throughout this time and like someone knowing that they're going to want to do comedy, I think you, like, along with UCB, you never just made improv your only thing.
Yeah.
You did sketch. You've been working professionally for, you know, doing, you probably interned at places. Like,
I don't like putting all my eggs in one basket. Yeah. And I love UCB so much. Like, I love doing shows. I feel so happy to be a part of a group that I really love.
Yeah.
The Law Firm Friday is 10:30 p.m.
It's a great show. Chelsea. I like it a lot.
But it's a great group.
Yeah.
We're really good.
Really good. There's one dude that
he's really funny.
Woo!
But I feel like I'm not going to, like, I guess I am competitive, like, with myself and with that. So I always would want to be on teams that are well liked and stuff like that. But I feel like I always sort of kept my head down to trying to get work stuff done and not put all. And again, I think I'm lucky because I missed that drama thing and missed putting like the improv thing up on a pedestal rather than like the experience.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm so thing to say. I
experienced. We worked together on that like pilot thing for ESPN.
Oh yeah, ESPN. Yeah,
years and years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, probably 6 or 7 years ago.
That sounds about
and
right.
You were directing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like seeing you doing that and being like, oh, I didn't know this was also happening. You know what I mean? Like in my head, I didn't know that people were also doing other more important things outside of improv.
And I think that that's like the most important thing. Like I feel like people sort of, this is like the type of thing I lose my shit like in my own head is like people getting lost in it so much that they're like not seeing. You're not seeing the forest for the trees, guys.
Yeah.
Shakespeare said it. That's probably not a Shakespeare quote.
But, yeah.
But
he stole it.
I think people get, like, really caught up. And, like, what I loved was doing stuff on the outside and meeting people through UCB and, like, doing stuff outside and making videos. Because
you
and,
worked with Rory a lot, I mean, through college at UCB and other people.
Which I think is, like, just as formative an experience as me is, like, my friend from college. I sort of, like, conned him into moving to New York so we could do comedy stuff together. We were making videos. We put up a show at UCB. It didn't get up. We put it up again. It got up. But even when it was up, we treated it like this is really fun. This is the stupid thing that we would want to do no matter where it was.
Right.
And we kept on doing stuff just like even when we weren't on the UCB stage, just trying to get videos made.
Can you talk about, so we've covered a lot of time right now. Can you talk about some of your professional experiences?
Yes.
Like, and how that kind of either related to improv or maybe, you know, what were some of those big milestone moments for you?
the first notable one, besides for, I mean, there are millions of like little jobs that were terrible formative in that they sucked.
Right. And, you get one paycheck, it's over.
Yeah.
It's
or just like weirdos who think they are the next thing. Yeah. And they're like, you like just these weird scams.
Right.
Which
come right from my blog.
Yeah,
TV
exactly.
Show. Yeah.
But the first big one was I got to write for Matt Besser's sketch show.
Right.
Sketch pilot for Comedy Central. And that was like huge. And I think that sort of like opened me up to like the world of like writing for television, which was great. And that was a really good experience. And that was directly through
UCB. Right. Yeah. And that was Besser knowing you over the years?
That
was it...
actually, the show is called This Show Will Get You High. I think that that was actually through Anthony, really. He like, I think by that time I was on a mod team.
Right.
Gramps.
Right.
And I had written, I felt I had a lot of fun on that group. And Anthony put together a showcase with sketches written by a bunch of people and then a bunch of actors. And it turned out that that was sort of
an audition
showcase for this show, for the Besser show.
Oh, that's very cool.
And I ended up just writing for that for like 3 weeks, flying to L.A., sleeping on people's couches.
Yeah.
You know, not it wasn't like glamorous. It was just like really fun and being in the room and meeting some of the L.A. people, which was cool. And being in a room with people I really respected and think are hilarious.
Did you think going through the sketch program at UCB and doing all your other stuff prepared you pretty well
for definitely.
That?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was – and I think Besser's like – a genius in this way of like, because I think he's sort of the driving force behind the sketch thing. But the mod experience was like totally like prepped me.
Yeah.
I mean, the timing wise, like instead of having a month to bring in a sketch, it would be like you have 24 hours to bring in like three new sketches.
Right,
you know,
right,
I feel like he put the pressure on, but in terms of like
how to do it,
and he was really good about like, all right, this sketch is okay. Why don't you put it up at UCB tonight in like LA? So that was cool.
He was all about that.
And he was all about finding new funny people at the theater, which I really respect.
Yeah. That's interesting. So your first, your first writing job was directly through UCB. Sure.
Yeah. And I can't remember that ESPN thing was probably, maybe a little bit beforehand.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it was maybe around the same time.
But, I mean, that never got made. That was
We did make something.
You made
with
the...
Like a variation of it with...
The Pretty Good Sports Show?
Me and a couple of UCB people.
Matt Fisher.
Adam Lustig, who's, I think, tangential. He's from Harvard.
Sailing team.
Caitlin Pizzagallo. But Caitlin Taggart at that time.
Yeah.
And... Dan Klein
might have done like voiceover stuff. Or
I don't know. He was involved in the version you were involved.
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
I remember.
But that was like a weekly. It was really strange. It was like a weekly sports sketch show. I don't know. I'm not very sports knowledgeable, but it was like really fun. Again, like I think the best things are like basically no money involved and just like. We're just doing it because it's stupid.
No, it was definitely really fun. They wanted us to do like a thing that was every morning and we'd have to be up. I mean, it was crazy.
It was like not, and the producers were great, but it was like when non-comedy people are like, let's make a comedy show.
And it's every night. It'll be every day at like 10 a.m. So you shoot it overnight.
Overnight,
and
but we'll be watching sports clips all night too. So there won't be any time to write it or make it, but... and then we ended up doing like a weekly version, but again, like a great experience.
Yeah, it was such a funny. I mean, that was the first thing that I had ever booked, and that was from someone coming to like a 600 show. So it just shows, you know.
It shows you, man. The scouts are out there.
Every show is a potential job. You got to
don't
be
mess
ready.
Up. Make yourself seen and make yourself heard.
So right now, you're working on a show for Adult Swim, the way that you like to
I
say
like
it.
To say Adult Swim.
Right.
I act in a show
right.
called Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell.
Right.
Sundays, 12:15 a.m. on Adult Swim.
So that means Monday, technically.
Monday, very early.
Early
the first
Monday.
20 minutes of Monday morning.
is this show.
And a lot of UCB people are...
This is a big acting Like, you haven't booked a bunch of stuff as an actor.
No, I don't.
This is the biggest thing.
Oh, yeah.
By far.
Definitely. I don't, and, like, one of the actors who's on it, Matt Servito, like, makes fun of me because I don't act. Like,
you
I'm
just
not
don't
an actor.
Act at all. Well, I guess.
How did it happen?
Yeah.
That was, the show is great, and you should watch it. But the way it happened was I auditioned. I mean, I got sent the script and I went on an audition like I'm sure a ton of UCB people often do. But I think the names of the writer and directors were on the script, and I found out these are the guys who do Aqua Teen Hunger Force and like Harvey Birdman.
A bunch
and
of Scribillies. Awesome
like shows that to me are so cool in that they're totally different from what else is on TV.
Yeah.
And I thought the script was really funny. So, and usually I do hate auditioning.
Yeah.
And, cause it's nerve wracking and, usually scripts are bad.
Right. Were you trying to act, or was it like this came across your table? And
I don't often audition, and it was like probably one of like, and anytime I get an audition, I go for sure. But this one was one of a few, cause I was also writing for a little TV show called Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Woo!
And
we should talk about that.
Yeah, we don't have to, but we can. And so I wasn't, because of that job, I wasn't going on auditions. And then this came, and it was during a hiatus, and I thought it was hilarious, and it is, and you should watch it.
Yeah.
And so I really rehearsed it. And what I did is what I think any person from UCB would do, which is like, come up with other funny bits that can fit within the script and, you know, half improvised, half, you know, like planned.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rehearse that with my wife and try to make her laugh. And then I auditioned and I got a call back, and I auditioned for the directors, that Dave Willis and Chris Casper Kelly.
Right.
And you can watch the audition on the new DVD for season
Ooh,
one,
interesting.
Which is actually really awkward to watch.
No,
I've never seen an audition of mine. Like, it's
of
really
your
weird.
Own. Yeah, that's got to be fucking.
It's
crazy.
It's really weird. But and then I made them laugh in the room, and I really like. I don't think that this is why I got it, but I was like afterwards, I was like, I really like your guys' stuff. Like,
yeah,
I feel like when you meet like-minded people, it's a very special thing,
right?
You know,
and they can probably tell that you're not just bullshitting them.
Yeah, I think so, and I think it also must. I hope came through in the audition. Like, this is really, I like this, so I want to bring myself, like, be part of it. And it's been the coolest experience. We shoot in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Henry Zebrowski, who's more of, I think he's done more
sketch
stuff
guy.
In the pit. I've seen him perform at UCB before I met him.
From Murder Fist.
Murder Fist.
Yeah.
The funniest person ever. Super talented. And we get to improvise like way too much.
That's what I was going to ask you, is like, you're working on a show on like one of the newer kind of style networks. And I feel like comedy is sort of, you know, moving in the direction of more off the cuff sort of improvised moments. Do you feel like you get a good amount of that on the show?
Oh, they're too nice. Like they write these scripts that are really funny, and then we sort of like go off them and find fun moments. And they have to cut 95% of it, really like some of that stuff makes it in there. And that to me is like watching the episodes and when I see those moments. But they also like Jack McBrayer just did an episode. Jeff Hiller is in one. Jim Santangeli is in one that will be airing this upcoming week, but maybe by the time this
it'll
pass.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, they like people that are funny and can do their own like thing, and they indulge us way too much, and it's really, really cool.
Do you find that this might be opening up other opportunities as far as like auditioning for other things on Adult Swim even?
Or? I have no idea. Don't know. Like, it's such a weird insular world. Like, Adult Swim isn't like,
because it's in Atlanta.
It's not Hollywood.
It's completely different.
Like, we literally like film it in the equivalent of an abandoned strip mall. Like, we film it in a weird building where I think I'm like breathing in asbestos every second. You know, so it's like, it's not. Maybe actually, yeah, like maybe hopefully people watch it and it will lead to something, but I don't know. I don't.
It's a fucking crazy show, but I'll say that like from knowing what my sense of humor is, and like when I discovered the Adult Swim shows, like Harvey Birdman especially, yeah, like it really did resonate with me as like, oh yeah, this is the same sensibility of what I'm doing and like what I aspire to do. So I don't know.
It's to me, it's like smart, stupid. That's yeah, like I've heard people use that term, and that's, and if people haven't seen it, it takes place in hell and we're literally painted red.
Yeah.
We have horns. The makeup is insane. The visuals are just like mind blowing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just different. It's just, that's why I liked it. And
so you mentioned this smart, stupid thing. And I would say, having followed a lot of stuff you've done, I could say that that's like a underlying theme. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's my favorite.
Yeah.
That's what makes me laugh.
Right.
Like, to me, like, somebody like John Glazer, mm-hmm, is like one of my, I don't,
so funny.
I don't know if he's doing anything specific right now that's on, but when I see his stuff, that makes me laugh the most because it's very stupid, very smart.
Right.
Like, and like, I like fart jokes, and I'm not going to hide it. And
do you feel like, to get back to improv, do you feel like that has been, if you were to say you have an improv style, would that also be the case, or is it different for sketch?
I don't know what my style is. Like, I think I'm not self-aware enough in improv, I hope, because
right,
I think once you are, then it gets messy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess...
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe I guess if I were to try to say what my style would be, I have no idea.
I just, like, I know I got a note once that was like, you do too many jokes, and maybe that's like jokey stuff, and I think that's fine. Like, yeah, I don't mind,
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So I don't,
well,
really,
I think,
know.
I think having played with you is like, and seen you perform, it's like, you do stuff that you would consider jokey, but I do think you probably do it in a smart way.
Yeah. And I've ruined scenes, and I ruined personal, yeah, conversations all the time. Like, I know, like, when people are telling stories and I derail it, and I feel really bad afterwards, but, like, I can't help myself.
Do you have a moment? So just to, like, ask a few questions.
Yes,
so
please,
do you have a best improv moment and worst improv moment?
It's hard to say best because, right, like, they're, you know, when you feel a really good improv show,
yeah,
and it's so ethereal, you know, like, mm-hmm, you can't.
You can't even describe him.
But I had a really fun one, and this is going to sound, again, like another lame thing.
Yeah.
But, like, I performed with my wife, like,
oh,
like within,
right,
the last, like, 6 months.
They did a show where it was,
Valentine's,
like,
Day show,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Brian Foss put together the show with improvisers and their significant others, and I just was laughing the entire time. Like, in the scene, my wife is all, she's, like, she doesn't do comedy, but she's a nerd like me.
Yeah.
Like, she... like,
and she comes, she's seen so much,
oh,
improv.
Oh my God,
at
she's
this
seen
point,
so many improv shows,
yeah,
that she could probably teach a class,
yeah,
even though she would be a nightmare teacher. But but it was like, it was just, it was, you know what it was? It was like those, I feel like, so when you perform so much, everything like gels together and it really stood out. And it felt, I think when you're performing with somebody who doesn't really, she took one class like 6 years ago.
Yeah.
But when somebody that still hasn't been like touched by all the bullshit of like annoying stuff,
mm-hmm,
that it's very like pure.
It was, like, exciting,
and it was,
yeah,
it was just really fun.
Yeah.
It was,
that's
really fun.
That's,
and
awesome. So that was recently.
That
like
was recently. And
comments,
that, so that's, I don't know if that was my best, but like, I think there are a lot of those moments, just,
mm-hmm,
like improv in college was so fun because I feel like I got along with everybody perfectly. You know, the Robin Williams show was just like,
that's a
high,
huge moment.
It was,
yeah,
just like,
I,
you know, something that you could tell anybody and they'd know what it meant. Like, with
yeah,
with
I got
improv,
to perform
can,
with, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, with,
yeah,
improv,
you can't tell somebody I'm on Harold Night and they know.
Yeah,
what
they
you
don't
meant,
care. And
yeah,
I don't care. I'm like, it's just like, it's like, mm-hmm, Robin Williams is Robin Williams. And it was great. And then bad, just, I don't know, a lot of like, corporate. I used to do Torco, some stuff.
Oh,
that stuff,
right,
just,
some of the corporate.
I mean, some of the.
So
I mean, they're draining, really, they're great, but they're great for how bad they're. Like, I love that stuff too. Like, like terrible experiences,
yeah,
that are just hilarious.
I
hindsight,
will say that you probably come up as a person that could enjoy a fucking awful.
Oh my
show,
God! I don't mind reveling in that. But there's some like, and I'll say this too. And this is on me. Like I went through the process of trying to be a, I used to teach sketch, but I went through,
right,
the process of teaching improv, mm-hmm. And I didn't like that, and I feel bad about it, and like I that was like a low.
Interesting.
And not in terms of like it just I don't I it's just hard.
Yeah.
And,
what didn't you like? Because you also coached. I was coached by you. You were a good coach.
Yeah.
I like coaching. I used to do that, and I thought that was fun because groups. I feel like people were into it, and they were a group, and there was like
good.
A goal.
Yeah.
And class, I just felt like a fraud and not a good time manager. Oh, and this was a bad. Like I didn't become a teacher the first time around. I was not blocked, but they they blocked me because of some bad stuff I did. No, right. But I didn't like pass the first time, and that really hurt my feelings.
Right.
So I think that also tainted the entire experience. But I just feel like I'm not. I'd feel like a fraud trying to tell people like what to do.
Is it because you never really thought of? I mean, I guess what I'm trying to phrase this question is like. Certain people, to get good at improv, have to, like, break it down and figure out every fucking little thing. Whereas I feel like your experience was probably more just like, I'm doing what I think is funny, and that ends up lining up with good improv, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say, like, I'm a renegade or like, a
no,
rogue.
Not
but
a,
I, so
yeah.
I'm an improv nerd, too, and
yeah.
I know the rules, and I care. But, yeah, I think that's part of it, and I think, like, I never wanted to be a teacher. Like, I feel like I didn't like I wanted to do comedy and
right.
I it was one of those things where it's like, oh, the next step would be to be. And I thought I was a terrible sketch teacher, too. Like I'm harming myself.
Well, what
but
about
I was
sketch
like,
teaching was different that didn't make you feel like a fraud? Either.
Well, it was easier.
Yeah, because you just were reading scripts.
But
and
that made me feel like a fraud, too. It's like I shouldn't give you notes on this. And like you feel bad. Like
yeah.
I feel bad like people paying money to like be like you're funny, tell me how to be funny too, and
right,
like I don't
right,
know
right.
maybe I don't know how to be like I don't know
you
it's just this weird world.
I mean so much of teaching is not faking it but buying into eating your vegetables is the most important thing.
Yeah,
we need
right.
to eat our vegetables, we're gonna eat our vegetables, and that authority, whether it's real or fake, you have to be able to do in the room, and if that's not fun or interesting to you, that sounds like a nightmare.
Like, I'm good at bullshitting, but I don't like being insincere.
Yeah,
like, I don't
right.
like
yeah.
that, and it's hard to be like, I really care about this improv scene, and we should figure it out together, or like,
yeah,
I don't
yeah,
know,
yeah.
it just felt a little false, but I still love classes,
yeah.
like, it's not, like, I love being in class,
mm-hmm.
and I loved great teachers,
right.
so I don't feel like
it might not have just been for you.
Yeah.
But do you
yeah.
remember when you were coaching, if there was anything that you were like, something that you harped on or a note that you felt like you were giving a lot?
I just emulated everybody I liked as a coach.
Right.
Like, I don't think I had like a, I remember one thing that I would have every group do because
mm-hmm.
I thought it was really fun when I did it. Like, that's the way I would coach was like.
Was it the fart exercise?
I don't remember that. But please, what was the fart exercise?
Just two people do a scene and then the back line. Can make fart noises.
Oh, that's great.
That's a Craig thing.
Oh, wow.
Is that really?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
That's really, you should, yeah, that's great. I don't remember that, but I like that a lot.
You just said you like fart jokes.
I love
yeah.
fart jokes. Like, I'm smiling genuinely.
Wait, what was the thing that you would make every team
do? It was like, I think it was called like Oscar moment or
oh,
something
sure.
like that. And people, you just get people like really
committed.
And
yeah.
like, you'd say like, okay, it's your Oscar moment. And then they do like the over dramatic thing. And it would cut from like a scene being boring to like the good stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a cheat. You know, like it's like cheating. But
that's still a good exercise that everybody fucking uses.
Good. I'm glad. That was like one of my
it's
favorite
It's really
ones.
Good. But we should get back into the repertoire, the fart exercise.
Oh, yeah, please. Anything fart related is funny.
Harold teams, you know, let's start doing some
and,
more
and hey, guys, come on. I know you're farting on the back line. Admit it.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. Own up to it.
Own up to it. Every time you fart for real on the back line, make a fart
just
noise.
Just raise
your
mouth. Hand or just raise your hand and say, I farted,
I just
guys.
Farted.
That was me.
Yeah.
So now that you've been on the weekend like a while
uh-huh.
and it's or and during the week or doing like real adult
I'm a grown
comedy
up.
Stuff
grown
yeah
up.
Like a comedy grown up what do you look to like what are you getting from being from law firm shows?
Oh, like it's the most fun thing. It's just so much fun. I think like and I think that's why people should do like I hope that's why most people do improv
yeah
like because I like being in front of a crowd and making people laugh and making people on my group laugh and make mm-hmm. them making me laugh. It's just like, it's just the most, like, it's like, I don't know, doing drugs probably.
I mean, it's one of those things where like you are working all week and you know, you are an adult, and like when you're doing improv, that's like just a once a week show that's fun. It's a huge release. Oh, it's like a stress reliever.
And I think when you don't do it for a couple weeks, you feel bad. Yeah. Like you miss having that outlet, and it's really creative, and it's make like also just the fact that it's done. Like after, like you can talk a show to death if yeah. you want, but like once you're done, it's gone.
Yeah.
And like, and that's what I loved about watching shows was like, you try to talk about it afterwards. Like I remember seeing shows and like just be like, nobody will ever see that again, and I could try to explain this to somebody else, but it's worthless. Like it's done, it's gone. And I think I like the fact that there's like no end game to it. It's just like silly.
Do you think your improv has changed at all being on the weekend, or has it settled into something?
It's much lazier. Like, I mean, I'd be,
you think so?
Yeah. I mean, just in terms of like, I don't know, maybe that's not true. I just don't like, you know, like you, Sean and I we're in the same group, yeah. but like,
oh.
We do improv
you
together,
get it, Dressful.
But like, I don't mind if things get weird or get bad.
Yeah.
I think we are really lucky. The group's really good at supporting each other. Everybody's hilarious. Mm-hmm. And like, you never feel stupid. I feel like the worst improv moments would be like when somebody does something, like everybody knows when somebody makes a bad move.
Yeah.
And we make bad moves and
yeah.
we ruin shows.
Yeah.
But like, everybody will support that. And I think that that's like we will and if we derail a show, which happens, like,
mm-hmm. pretty actively.
Yeah, no, like we like love it. Like
yeah.
we
it's
really,
those are the most fun moments, I feel like.
I think
that's one thing that changes about playing on the weekend is you are so much less, like you're not as precious about every fucking moment, because in a way you kind of are like, well, we'll do it again next week.
Yeah, I remember being in like Harold shows and you'd be like, all right, okay, those two are in the first scene. I'm gonna try to maybe get into the second scene. And then if you're not
yeah.
in that, you're like, okay,
yeah.
well, if I'm not in the next one, okay, maybe
oh,
I'll start
the group game
or
yeah.
and you're and like it sucks. Like it, that's
yeah.
not like you're not watching the show, you're not being in the show, and it sucks
mm-hmm.
bad. Like, and I've done that and it sucks.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a piece of improv advice for the up and comers out there?
I mean, no.
Yeah.
No, yeah. No. I don't know. I'd say it's really hard to give advice.
I mean, you're known as a person that's really strong on game. I mean, all bits aside.
See, like, I would never know that. Like,
right.
I'm not joking. Like, I was pretty sure you were kidding before when you called me the game machine. Like, So, that's cool to hear.
Right,
that,
right, right.
But finish your thought.
Well,
sorry.
I guess what I'm saying is, like, how do you think about game in that way? Or is it something you think about, or is it just, like, a reflex?
I think about it. I feel like the easiest thing to do is, like, just do the same thing again. Like, I know that's the real, like,
yeah.
do it louder or do it angrier. Like,
yeah.
that. I think that that's, like, the shortcut is, like... Because, like, when we have to do, like, a Harold night at,
mm-hmm.
At like,
easy, man.
before the Del Close Marathon, I'm, like, starting a second scene. I'm, like, oh, my God. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I hope somebody else starts it, the second beat. But I think it's just, like, find that feeling. I feel like that's what it is. And
yeah.
that's really hard. But, like, try to get the feeling back from the first scene. Or just, like, if something works, do it again. But, like, think about a way to do it differently.
Yeah.
I guess that's just what
see,
improv
that's,
is.
That's what happens when you talk
I mean,
to someone.
But you are, you're like saying all the right things. You're just not using any
but
of the
that's
formalized
what I'm saying.
Vocabulary.
It's like when you talk to someone
like you
who's...
just said heighten, and then you said like, put it in a situation where you can play that game again.
No, but it's one of those things where like when you talk to someone who's like been good,
yeah.
right? And but they don't necessarily understand why. It's like, you know what you're doing.
I mean, I know why. I will
you
pick
do
everything
totally
up, but
totally.
Like just do like just do it again.
But what I mean to say is like it becomes simplified because it's a set of skills that you're very familiar with.
I think because
with.
Once you and also just do a million shows, like I think that's really the most important. The reason that you could say it so flippantly now, or I can, is like once you do it a million times, you know when it feels right.
Right.
Not every show matters. Most shows don't matter, and that's. Makes them what matters. But like,
exactly.
Once you do it a million times, you know when it feels right. And then I'd say, like, do it with people you really like. Don't do it with people you don't like.
Yeah, you've been lucky that you've had a lot of fun people to improvise.
Oh,
with.
It's the best. Like, if you, someone, and the, and I'll say this, like, I'm very lucky because I feel like my UCB experience started with Sherpa, which was a great group. I mean, I don't know if. I think we were good. We had that perfect team.
Definitely.
Perfect mix of crazy and smart and not knowing improv, which is really important. And then, but it became, I joined it because I did the lottery, and I could tell that one of the guys in the group we were sort of on the same wavelength, and he asked me to join Sherpa, and that. To me, it's like follow that too.
Yeah,
like follow and
follow
my,
the people that you have similar sensibilities with and play with them.
And that was Mike Cavanaugh. I'm giving you a shout out.
Woo, Cavanaugh.
Woo.
So yeah, like I said, listeners, find Anthony King and say hashtag where's $12,000.
Yep.
So many that name is so many characters.
And actually, I'll admit this: the reason we were called $12,000 is that's the amount of money we made from doing the improv.
Because we had a
door share with
back then, with the UCB. Each team negotiated their own share,
and that was our goal, and we hit it, and that's when we were disbanded.
Right. Well, that's great. Thanks for doing the show, Craig. This was really great. Again, the show that is airing
is called Your Pretty Face Is Going to Hell.
Every Sunday at 12:15. That's Monday morning if you're a freak.
And yeah, again, like a lot of UCB people are on this season, and it's, you know, find the improvised moments and email me and I'll get you through the process of how I got to that line.
Right. And if you want to see the audition for this show, get the DVD.
Oh yeah. Buy that. The money goes straight to my pocket.
Straight to his pocket. And yeah, the podcast, It's That Episode, may or may not put out another episode, maybe just another Studio 61.
I have this podcast where we watch TV shows, and it ain't dead.
It ain't dead.
And
yet.
I got another podcast in my brain.
Woo!
So you know that's going to be worthless, too.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot for doing
the
show.
Thank you for having me, guys.
All right.